And we were there on Mother's Day to see a special program with my daughter and her cousins. We call the three C's, Marina, Julie, and Katie. But because of Mother's Day, we heard the gospel. At this time, the Sunday school could be dismissed. No. Thank you for the youth ministry and the Sunday school teachers. And so that Mother's Day, we heard the gospel. We heard how to get saved, how to know that we're going to go to heaven when we die. Probably the following Sunday, we would not have been there. But on that one particular Sunday, the church was faithful to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this ministry is very special to Trudy and I. You also supported our ministry as we went to school and established a church in Washington State. But this ministry has a very special meaning and a very special meaning to us of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the foundation of the church. That is the main message of all of Scripture. It was predetermined before the beginning of time, before the foundation of the world, that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and seek and save for those who were lost. And this is very important to understand that the foundation of the church is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so saying those things, I have permission, and I brought three tracts with me, and there's plenty of tracks on the foyer there. One is a child's track, Am I Going to Heaven for Kids? The second track is a heaven track on a quiz heaven track. And you can take a quiz and make sure that you have the right answers to know that you're going to go to heaven when you die. And the third is the greatest gift regarding the salvation that you have in Christ Jesus. Now these tracks are a powerful message. And I believe every believer, every church should have these tracts available. And you will be shocked if you have these tracts available when the Holy Spirit calls upon you and said, okay, there's a person that needs to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will be amazed. You'll just be amazed. And so the tracts are available to you, and I encourage you to take them with you. And if you're this morning and do not have a Bible, raise your hand, please, and Vern will get a Bible to you to use. Raise your hand if you'd like to borrow a Bible, and they'll get a Bible to you to use. Anybody want to borrow a Bible? Vern, where are you? Right behind you, sir, there's a stack of Bibles. Your homework, I'll be with you next week. I'll have a little advance. And so your homework for next week is to read Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be talking about faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Raise your hand if you need to borrow a Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I feel like today would be a good day for have a tent revival outside on a sunny day, but we can have a revival inside as well. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll go back to where we were before we knew Christ as our personal Savior. And then we'll go to where we are now and see the riches that we have in Christ. Quite a comparison. You see, Trudy and I were saved late in life. So we lived 40-some years not knowing Christ as our personal Savior. And then we heard the truth. Salvation by grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. So let's go back and see where once we were all at one time. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, he made alive. Just stop right there. He made alive. So that means at one time, you and I were dead. We were spiritual dead. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Death. That's a spiritual death, separated from God for an eternity. But he made alive. We sang about that this morning. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. So at one time in our life, everyone here, including especially myself, were dead in trespasses and sin. God's foremost attribute is his holiness. And holiness is from a root word, separatedness. God will not commune with sin. He separates himself from trespasses and sin. And if anyone is here this morning that does not know Christ as your personal Savior, you are alienated from God. You're spiritual dead, death. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You see, Romans 3 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're all guilty. We all need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Every person born into this world is born into sin. They need a Savior. In verse 2, it says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. At one time, you and I, who were dead in trespasses and sin, once walked in this world, and this world is controlled by Satan. He is the god of this age. He is the prince and power of this air. And all false doctrine, ladies and gentlemen, originates from the liar, the Satan, who is the father of lies, and he's a liar. And all false doctrine arises from Satan, who's the prince of this world that we live in. And at one time, every one of us walked in according to this world. We were lost. I was lost for 40-some years. I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. And if you want to get right down to the literally meaning, it means I was on my way to hell until I heard the gospel of grace and what Jesus did for me at Calvary. So salvation means something to Trudy and I and this ministry. This ministry was founded on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This ministry is going to be a light in this community. And it's going to be founded on the gospel. Amen? And so at one time we all walked according to the prince and power of the air, who now works in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others, according to the world. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. We battle it every day. We battle it every day. But when you and I put our faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, a tremendous transition took place. Amazing transition took place. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 sums it up. It says, For he, God, became sin for us, Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous. The moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, his righteousness was put to your account. And now you have communion with the Heavenly Father. Even though we still have this sin nature, and even though we still battle the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, I am covered with the righteousness of Lord Jesus Christ. And now I can commune with my Heavenly Father because I am righteous in his eyes, because his righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, was put to my account when I put my faith in him. I'm no longer associated with this world. I've been transformed out of this world, and I have a position of holiness in Christ Jesus, as now I can commune with my Heavenly Father. Not only that, I have the eternal security Ephesians chapter 1:11 said, I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. I will never, ever lose the salvation that I have in Christ Jesus. I will never, ever, ever, ever be separated from him. Romans chapter 8. Nothing will ever separate me from him because I'm in Christ Jesus when I put my faith in him. Why is that so important? Notice verse 4. But God, who is rich, that word rich means abundant, overwhelming richness in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Romans 5 says, while we were yet dead in our sins, he loved us. You and I were never separated from his love. But yet, he loved us so much that John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loves you. He always loved you. And he loved you enough to give his son to go to Calvary and shed his blood for the remission of sin and proclaim you holy and righteous before his throne of grace. He loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. The word saved is from a root word that means rescued. It's like a lot of you have boats and you fall overboard. It's like somebody throwing you a life jacket, a life raft. You've been rescued from the condemnation of sin. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You and I will never, ever, ever, ever face condemnation for sin because the Lord Jesus Christ paid it all at the cross on the eternal state that we have in Christ. Oh, sure, Hebrews chapter 12 says we can be chastised on our practical life, but that's not associated to your eternal state that you have in Christ Jesus. He paid the price. And you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's right. John chapter 14 says, I go prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. So if it were not so, I would have told you so. But where I am, I want you there to be with me also. We are already seated in the heavenly places because God loves us and we are come under his richness of his mercy. Wow. You should get excited about that. But there's also another reason in verse 7, and it reads that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. When you and I are in glory, the riches of his grace is going to continually to be worshiped. He's going to display the glory of his grace throughout all the ages. And sometimes we abuse that grace. And sometimes it's so sad when we see the gospel added works to the gospel of grace. Anytime you add one work to the gospel of grace, that gospel becomes polluted. You cannot have a free gift of grace and add any human effort to achieve it. That's not sound doctrine. It can't be a grace, a little bit of works here and there. It's either all of grace and not a work, so as any man should boast. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. I want you to think, I want you to examine your life. Just examine your life right now. Have you truly put your faith in Christ as your personal Savior? Do you truly believe in him as your Savior? For by grace, unmerited favor, are you rescued. Rescued from the condemnation of sin. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is sad to me when we visit other churches, many churches, and I'll be very frank with you, it is very sad when I see the gospel of grace polluted with works. Hebrews says how tragic it is who those trample on the blood of grace. I'm so tired of hearing, for example, repent and turn from your sin. That's a false gospel. Repent, be sorry for your sin. That's human effort. Repent, make him Lord of your life. How can anyone make him Lord of life? He's already Lord. Repent, and the list goes on and on and on and on. That's not grace. That's not grace, folks. Grace is an unmerited favor toward you. You don't earn it. You don't ask for it. But grace is his love upon you without any merit, without any of your effort whatsoever. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came to go to the cross for you personally. He knew you before you were even born. He knew you wasn't in your mother's womb. Psalms 139. The whole text is about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and going to the cross and save those who come to him through faith and faith alone. So at one time, we were all alienated from him. We were separated from him. But now when we made that decision and put our faith in him as our personal Savior, his blood atonement was put to our account. We have been forgiven. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, those of you who are following me. Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just read a few verses here and show the riches and the position that you have in Christ Jesus. Verse 3 Ephesians 1. Verse 3:1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Past tense. Has blessed you with every spiritual blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, through his foreknowledge, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption. Now you have been positioned as a child of God, where we can cry out, Abba, Father, at the throne. You've been adopted as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You've been accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. Notice this, the forgiveness of sins. You have been completely forgiven of all sins. All sin, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Once you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to think about this. You were once dead, now you're alive. You were once separated, Now you have him as your heavenly Father. You were once condemned, but now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You were once in the world, but now your name is in the book of life, and your home is in glory. Colossians says at one time, even he takes it a further step and said, we were at one time enemies with God because of sin. Don't ever forget your position in Christ Jesus. For he hath made him to become sin for us who know no sin, that we might be made what? What? Righteous, holy. That's your position in Christ. That's not an excuse for us to go ahead and live in sin and exercise our sin nature. Absolutely not. Romans chapter 6 says, Paul says, God forbid that we don't abuse grace and allow sin. True foundation and true knowledge and true doctrine under grace motivates us to live the Christian life. That's a true motivation. It's not the law. It's not the law. The law was given for three things. Reveal the sin nature of mankind, reveal the holiness of God, and was an invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as the schoolmaster, as the teacher. So don't ever forget the salvation that you have in Christ Jesus. Don't ever forget it is the foundation of the Christian faith, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the church is not preaching the gospel, it's not fulfilling the Great Commission. It's just not doing it. It's just not doing it. One more time. Let's close in prayer, and I'll close into this one more time. Bow your heads, if you would, please, and we'll close in prayer. Just, I want you to examine your life. Really, is there anyone here, maybe, that has never put their faith in Christ as their personal Savior? Today is a day for salvation, and you can make that decision in the quietness of your mind right now where you're sitting. Right now, think about it. God knows your thoughts. God knows your thoughts. He's inviting you to put your faith, your belief, your trust in him as your Savior. Right now, you can receive eternal life as a free gift. Is there anyone making that for the first time? Anybody at all? Are you sure you're saved? Anybody at all? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the great salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Father, we pray for this ministry, that it will continue to be a light into this community. It will be founded upon the gospel. Father, thank you that we will never, ever be separated from your love, and we have the guarantee of eternal life. Thank you, Father, that you're at this very moment, you're sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for each and every one of us. And Father, may we be so excited about the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus that we too will go into all the world and make disciples and be a witness to those who don't know Christ as their personal Savior. Father, we thank you for this time together now. May God bless us as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.